Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 117, Great Wargamer Destination Spots. If you are a new listener to Wargaming Recon, welcome! This is my flagship show here on the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Like I said, it talks about historical and New England gaming. So I like to cover all sorts of different things, and the show is more of a conversational format. This is episode 117. And before I go any further, I want all of you new listeners, but also all of you longtime listeners, to remember that the best thing you can do is to remember this URL for the show notes, this web address, wargamingforums.com/WR117, wargamingforums.com/WR117. The reason why you want to remember that is that it has all the stuff we talk about on the show. It'll have links to things. It'll have ways to get in touch with me to send feedback or ask questions and all that kind of stuff. So no matter what happens, no matter what I talk about in the episode, you don't need to worry that you're going to have to try to remember all this stuff. It's hard because I don't know about you, but when I listen to a podcast, I tend to listen to it on my commute to and from work, or maybe when I'm at work. I know a lot of people like to listen to them when they're at the gym or doing yard work or painting and all that kind of stuff. So you're focusing on another task, which means you can't really spend the time to think, oh, okay, well, they talked about XYZ. I got to make sure I remember XYZ, because you're focusing on what you're doing. Completely understand that. So that's why I try to put all the important stuff in the show notes. Like I said, wargamingforums.com/WR117, wargamingforums.com/WR117. So today's show, we are going to talk about some places that you can go, because as of the time that I am recording this, it is during the summer of 2014. You may have a family, maybe you have kids or a spouse, or maybe you just want to get together with a bunch of buddies or go on a solo trip or something like that, but you want to travel because that tends to be how it goes, at least here in the U.S. for this time of year. So I cover a few great destination spots that I think wargamers would enjoy. Please keep in mind that my destination spots are geared or themed, really. They're themed towards a certain century and type of wargaming. So they're more for atmosphere as well. And I just think there's something that you might enjoy going and doing and checking out. So the first one is actually very, very close to me. It is the USS Constitution. You can go to the USS Constitution in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. It has the dignity and honor of being the oldest commissioned warship afloat in the world. I know that some people are like, oh, it's not the oldest commissioned warship, or it's not the oldest warship. But at the risk of splitting hairs, I actually had to look up on their website how they phrase it to make sure I get it correct, because there are some other naval vessels across the globe that have been around for a while, and some are commissioned and so forth. So I had to get that just right. But basically, if you're not familiar with the Constitution, it is partially still original. A lot of repairs have been done to it. But it was commissioned and sent afloat during the War of 1812, a little bit before that. But it's most famous for its actions during the War of 1812. And anyone who loves the Age of Sail for wargaming periods is going to be in love with going to the USS Constitution. I've been there numerous times. I used to be a Boy Scout, or a Cub Scout, really. And one of those times, went and they give you free guided tours, not just for Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, but they do free guided tours for everyone who goes. So it's completely worth the money, which is nothing. So it's worth going to. And during the tours, they take you all over. But since I was in the Cub Scouts, and our tour guide used to be a Cub Scout, he let us go into some places that they don't let anyone else go to. So it was really neat to be able to get into things like the hold, where they kept bread, where they kept rum and supplies, their crew quarters. Since this is a commissioned warship, It's staffed by the U.S. Navy. Its commander is a U.S. naval officer. The staff are U.S. Navy sailors. So it's fully commissioned and it can go out and do stuff and go under its own power. It doesn't always do that. In fact, not very often, but it can. Now, the reason why it would be of interest to you as a wargamer, and I'm presuming that you are like, hey, I like Age of Sail. I like that type of wargaming. I would like to play Trafalgar or anything of that sort. You will enjoy, I believe, seeing what a vessel like this from that time period looks like. You can actually look up and see the rigging. You can see what it must have been like to crew it. You can look into the bowels of the ship and see what it must have been like to actually live and serve aboard one of these vessels. We can read all of these manuscripts and we can read all of these pamphlets and accounts of the time, but sometimes there's nothing quite like being there in person. And this gives you that opportunity. So you can see what it would have been like to be there and to man the guns and fire them and just see how close the quarters are for when things go awry, what happens when people start to get hurt, and what it must have been like if you took some damage and the side of the ship gets splintered open and what's going to happen. It makes it more real. So that's one of the things that I think is just a not miss. It's really cool, and like I said, it's free. Plus, it's on the Freedom Trail in Boston. So you can do this as part of your Freedom Trail and go and just see all sorts of cool stuff. And it's right next to the Bunker Hill Memorial. Anyone who's familiar with the American Revolution knows that the Battle of Bunker Hill was not fought on Bunker Hill. It was fought on nearby Breed's Hill. But there's a memorial there. You can go over and walk around and see what it was like. So it's kind of just a fun thing to do. And they're right next to each other. No reason not to do that. Number two on my list is Plymouth Plantation in Plymouth, Massachusetts, USA. I talked about this on a previous episode of Wargaming Recon. My wife and I had gone and we took a trip and just went down. We were able to get, and this is actually really important to keep in mind, but in Massachusetts, many public libraries carry discounted museum passes. They let you get into different museums. Libraries have them, say, for like a museum of science or a kids museum. They have them for an aquarium. And many will carry a museum discounted pass for Plymouth Plantation. To get in, it costs $26 per person, per adult. Cheaper for kids. But that just lets you into Plymouth Plantation. If you get a discounted pass, it's huge savings. So it's worth doing if you can. But if you're from somewhere else, you're not going to be able to get one of those discounted passes because most libraries require you to be a resident of the town where the library is. So maybe if you come out to stay with some friends or family, you can get the local friends and family you have to try to get the pass for you. But Plymouth Plantation is really interesting for quite a few reasons. So Plymouth is very cool because it is staffed by historians and reenactors who reenact what day-to-day life like happened to be from the 17th century. So let me just back up, because like I was saying, American school children all hear the story about Plymouth Rock and the pilgrims coming to land and all this kind of stuff. What American school children are taught about the pilgrims and Plymouth Plantation and Plymouth Rock is a load of crap, is really what it is. Anyone who digs deeper learns more about the story. And one way you can dig deeper and do so in a fun and exciting way, both for adults like all of us and for teens and for kids, is to go to Plymouth Plantation, because the historians and reenactors are skilled in learning what happened then and then explaining it. So when you walk around, you will come into things like there's a recreation of an Indian village there, and it's staffed by Native Americans, actual real Native Americans, present day members of the local tribes who go there, and they use it as a teaching opportunity to teach all of us what it really was like to be a Native American back then. It removes all that crap and the bunk from the school textbooks that we had and shows the authentic side of it. For example, one thing I never knew, which is really more fluff and kind of a cool backstory, might be handy if you're doing, say, an imagination campaign as opposed to just doing regular straight-up one-off wargaming, is that in a Native American home in one of their huts, they would have one side of it designated for the men. It was the life-taking side. That's where things like weapons were and all that sort of stuff, where all the adult grown-up men hung out. And long bench over there, the hearth in the middle. On the other side was the life-giving side. That's where all the women were. That's where they had cooking utensils and where they would do things like sewing and making clothing and all that sort of stuff. All of the places are built the way they were then, and they're supposed to be built that way. The authentic recreations are supposed to be set up this way. There's a pilgrim kind of town, I mean, is what I'm going to call it, and that's not the real name of it. But you can see what a pilgrim fort would look like, what their homes were like. It's packed dirt floors. You can see the kinds of furniture and tools and equipment. There's actual animals there. You can walk around. They plant the stuff that would have been planted then. They harvest it. They have workshops in a separate part where you can go and you can see what woodworking was done. And it's done in the way that it would have been done then. And metalworking and basket making and all this kind of stuff. So you can really immerse yourself in the 17th century and really get a feel for what life was like then. And then you can take that and bring it with you for when you war game. Maybe you're going to make some terrain. You're really into making your own terrain. And yeah, you could look in an Osprey publishing book or do a search online and find pictures of a Native American village or like an early colonial American history kind of village and town and so forth. And do that and get some ready-made terrain, and nothing wrong with that. But maybe you can be a little more adventurous and make your own. Doing first-hand research like this can be a huge boon for that. It really allows you to dig in. Maybe you can make some sketches, and then you bring that back and you make your own terrain. What did the trees really look like? What kind of crops did they have? What color would the crops have been? How should the houses be painted? And all that sort of stuff. How were things arranged? When I had went with my wife, we actually got to see that some of the Native Americans were working on a dugout canoe. It was fascinating to find out how they made dugout canoes. The combination of using tools to kind of chisel out, plus fire, and everything. It was just fantastic to learn all this kind of stuff. And of course, you can then go on to the recreation of the Mayflower and Mayflower 2. That's in a separate part. It's not actually in Plymouth Plantation, but it's in downtown Plymouth, so you can go, and that's an extra fee. You can go and walk around. But if you've done number one on my list, if you went to the Constitution, it's a later time period. It really is. I mean, age of sail, but it's later because it's 1812 was the time I like to give. It's not exact, of course, but people always think, oh, it was famous for the War of 1812. So I like to give that for the Constitution, and of course, the Mayflower was earlier. But you can do this, and you can do that for free, and then you can come up to Plymouth Plantation and see what everyday life was like for the early people who came beforehand, before the War of 1812. It's worth every penny to go. Like I said, it's $26 American per adult, but you can get a discounted library pass, and it's worth it. It's amazing. Just, it's really nice. You can walk around. It's outdoors. It's open year-round. Most popular time is Thanksgiving, because that's when all the school kids like to go so they can learn about the first Thanksgiving and all that sort of stuff. There's places to eat inside. There's a gift shop that you can buy, you know, authentic, air quotes, goods and wares and stuff. But they actually do sell some of the pottery that they make, some of the plateware and tools and wooden toys and that sort of stuff. So you can get that. And kids love this sort of stuff. So it's a great family thing to do. Number three on my list, and this is like three in one, and it's my final one. So really, it's not just number three, it's like number three, four, and five. Anyone who's listened to my other show, Geeks Explicitly, knows that I do a lot of top five lists on there. So this is kind of like my top five list, but in three. I know that I'm leaving lots and lots and lots of things out. Not everything got into the list this time, but part of the fun of this is that I can then do other lists on this topic later on, and I can cover other things. Like, did you know such and such a place would be a great destination spot for a wargamer? And then talk about a few different places on that. So don't think of this as the end-all, be-all. It's not. It really isn't. It's just some places that had come to my mind that I have been to that I think would be really interesting for people. There will be others. I'll do other lists down the road, I promise. So that being said, number 3/4 and 5 is the Yorktown Battlefield, Colonial Williamsburg, and Jamestown in Virginia, USA, near Jamestown and Williamsburg in Virginia. Now, these are three different places. I'm just going to touch on them, but I'm not going to be able to go in as deeply. They all deal with a certain time period. in a very, very general broad spectrum of time as Plymouth Plantation and the USS Constitution. Of course, Jamestown, the first permanent settlement from the English here in the New World, and Colonial Williamsburg, I'll touch on a little bit. But Jamestown is this kind of recreation, but there's also original artifacts there. Jamestown is famous for being the first permanent for the English, but also because of the starving time, which I'm not going to get into, but the starving time when the settlers were like, hey, we don't have anything to eat, and they ate each other and animals and all sorts of stuff. What was really cool was that I was there in, I think, 1996, 1994, 95, something like that. And while I was there, they had a whole section of Colonial Jamestown separated off, and you couldn't go into it, but they were doing a dig. I was like, this is really cool. And it turned out they were excavating in the hope of finding the original Jamestown Fort. They ended up finding the original Jamestown Fort. Saw it on like a PBS special. It was really, really cool. And it was extra cool to know that I was there when they had begun digging. It was early on. They had just been like, you know, several inches, maybe a foot at most, dug down. But eventually they kept on going deeper and deeper and deeper. And they found original portions of the fort where the settlers first were. It was so cool. But the whole place is just interesting because it teaches you a lot about this time period. It presents a balanced picture, which I think is very important, of the English who came, but also on the native peoples who were here before them and who lived, and what sort of impact that had. So it's neat to be able to see artifacts and hear the story and really immerse yourself in all of this and see what's going on, and then be able to walk outside and see some of the stuff that was there. Just fantastic. Nearby is Colonial Williamsburg. Now, Colonial Williamsburg is really cool, along with Jamestown, because they tried to have things created in the way that they would have been constructed then. I don't know if any of you are familiar with an old PBS show, which is still on WGBH, as it's known here in New England, but a public television show called The Woodwright Shop. The person who does The Woodwright Shop, he's from South Carolina, lives in South Carolina, and he constructs things the way they would have back then. He uses hand tools and no power tools and does it all how they would have. Well, he was the master woodwright, which I know is not a real term, but he was like the master woodwright down there in Colonial Williamsburg and would work on all that kind of stuff. And he did an episode where he went down and he worked on stuff. So it was just really cool to see that they do this. And I know they've come under fire. They've had some controversy about how authentic some of the things are and portrayals of African Americans and that, but they've worked really hard to balance this and to allow people to walk around and see what it's like. And yeah, one of the critiques is that it's too clean, which is true, but you have to keep in mind, this is a mainstream kind of tourist place. So when you have that in mind and you realize that it's a little sparkly and shiny in that regard, you can still get something out of it. But it's not going to be the same as, like, walking around a battlefield or hanging out with the historians at Plymouth Plantation. It's different, but still good. And then when you take a break from Colonial Williamsburg, you can walk over to the Yorktown Battlefield. Yorktown is famous from the American Revolution or War of American Independence, depending on where in the world you happen to reside. I loved my time walking around the Yorktown Battlefield. I had seen a lot of stuff about it as a kid and read a lot about it as a, you know, a preteen. So I had gone out there with my parents and an aunt, and I spent hours walking around the battlefield, and my dad had this video camcorder back then, and I took the camcorder, he let me use it, and I knew how to use it. I went around, I was filming the battlefield, and I was like, such and such happened here, and over here it was this, and oh look, there's that, and they had this here, and the cannons were here, and so forth, and this and this, and then the French came, and it was just so cool to walk around the battlefield, and they don't have stuff there. It's grass. But you can use your imagination. You can picture what it would have been like. You can see it. You can feel it. And that's really cool. And this is a great thing to do with kids in particular. It's a great thing to do with people who've never been to a battlefield, just to see what it's like. And they might be like, hey, it's just a bunch of grass. How's that different than the meadow near where I live or whatever? But the meadow where you lived probably didn't have an epic battle like Yorktown happen on it. So I think it's really cool to check it out, see what it's like. I will have links to all three of these in the show notes so that you can find out more information about it if you're interested. If you happen to do any searching of your own online, I just want to give one search tip for you. When it comes to Plymouth Plantation, it's in the town of Plymouth, P-L-Y-M-O-U-T-H. But Plymouth Plantation back then was spelled P-L-I-M-O-U-T-H. So the town's P-L-Y and Plymouth Plantation is P-L-I. So when you do your search, you do P-L-I-M-O-U-T-H Plantation. And leave the Y out and you should be fine. But even if you put the Y in, I'm sure they have it so that it'll redirect you. But just in case, that's just one little tip. So quick recap. Number one, USS Constitution. It's in Boston, Massachusetts. You can get there for free to get your tour. Number two, Plymouth Plantation in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Fantastic recreation with historians and reenactors of everyday life in the 17th century. And then finally, number three, it's three in one because they're all near each other. Jamestown, Colonial Williamsburg, and the Yorktown Battlefield. All really cool places for wargamers to go. You can get some inspiration for your chosen time period, as long as it's within these time periods. And then you can take what you've seen, take photos and all that kind of stuff, sketches and so forth. And then you can translate that onto the tabletop for a wargaming event near you or at your friendly local game store at a convention or whatever. Now, moving on, I want to talk about something a little different. I discovered that a nearby library carries a magazine that's really interesting. I've been saying really a lot this episode. I should edit all those out. Anyway, the magazine is called Scale Military Modeler International. And I've seen different magazines like this before at like the bookstore and all that kind of stuff. But I've never seen this one before. It's published, I believe, in the UK. So for all of you who are across the pond, you should be able to get it easily. It costs, I have it right in front of me. It costs £4.25. So you can do the conversion on that for those of us here in the U.S. or elsewhere. So it's not too expensive. But what struck me about it is that a few things. I looked at the June 2014 issue. That's focused on D-Day, of course. And this would be of most use and inspiration for wargamers who like to do World War II, which is a lot of you, I know. So anyone who's really into like Flames of War would love this. It's focused on like 1/32nd scale stuff, which would be great for dioramas or display pieces and that sort. Maybe not so much for actual wargaming, but it can definitely inspire you. A few things in here really struck out for me, stuck out at me. The first is that there was a really cool, very cool World War I trench section by justbases.co.uk. Costs under 25 British pounds per section. You can use it for a diorama or whatever, but I think it would be awesome to use in wargaming, depending on what scale you're using for your troops and stuff. You could get some really cool World War I gaming happening. Supposedly, the stuff is MDF. It's treated MDF, and it has a cross-section of a dugout. It's supposedly going to be modular that other pieces will add in, and you can make a larger trench system. So I thought that was pretty cool. They have some interesting reviews of three Osprey books in there, covering stuff from World War II glider assault tactics to Operation Neptune. Some nice write-ups. And then there's a cool base. It's a 135 scale mini art ZIS-3 gun emplacement base. Of course, if you're doing larger scale wargaming, like 135 scale would be perfect for that, but I think they might also make smaller scales, but it was just a beautiful base, perfect for a diorama or inspiration, any of that kind of stuff. So if you happen to see Scale Military Modeler International magazine, pick it up. I think it's worth a read. It's not going to replace the standard wargaming magazines like Miniatures Wargaming, Now with Battle Games, or WSNS, or Wargames Illustrated, or like White Dwarf if you're into that kind of stuff, or No Quarter, or, you know, any of those kind of things. But it's a nice addition too, so I would recommend it for that if you happen to see it. Now we move to the mailbag section of the show. Mailbag's where I open up my bag of mail and I share some feedback or comments with all of you. Now, this could be stuff that actually is emailed to us or snail mailed or things that were left on our voicemail line, but they could also be things that appear on social media. And more, I'm sharing things that happen on social media with all of you. A while back, I was on Facebook, on our Facebook page, and I said, hey, what are some of your favorite wargaming destinations? I knew I wanted to do this episode, and I was like, let's see what some of the people say, if anyone says anything. I was like, one of mine is a USS Constitution, so what do you got? And it got some comments from people, so I want to share those with all of you. Listener Adam said, the Minuteman National Historical Park, although any battlefield, seeing the real ground or as near as one can, to get to the historical ground really increases your appreciation for the decisions made and the actions taken. Thank you, Adam. I would definitely agree with you on that. Listener Dario said, I agree. Been there 3 years ago, and tomorrow I'll return to Portsmouth to visit the Victory. He was actually talking about what listener Adrian said, which was Gettysburg. He also said he can't get enough. So both listener Dario and Adrian seem to love Gettysburg. That's one place I've never been and I would love to go to. I also think visiting the HMS Victory in Portsmouth would be fantastic, a lot of fun. So thank you, all three of you, for your interactions on social media. And I have to say, I look forward to checking those places out, and I hope some of the other listeners will take some time to visit Minuteman National Historic Park and Gettysburg and the HMS Victory in Portsmouth. This isn't really a mailbag kind of thing, but I think this might be the best place to put it. So, I posted on Facebook today, which means nothing to any of you guys, because by the time you listen to this, it's like today. He didn't post this today. But I posted on Facebook at some point in space and time that something cool was released. Henry Hyde has released his Wars of the Faultenian Succession compilation. I have a link for you to be able to purchase that. It costs 3.5 British pounds, 3.5 British pounds, which is roughly $5.99 USD. Henry originally wrote his, I call it a 12-part series, although I don't know that he ever originally did, but he probably did. He's a smart guy. He must have done that. But he posted it originally in Battle Games Magazine. He serialized it. It's one of the best parts of Battle Games Magazine. Of course, Battle Games is no more. It's now part of Miniature War Games Magazine, which is fine. But I always loved his Wars of the Faultenian Succession. So I know that I had been hounding him and saying, Henry, you should really do like a whole Faultenian Succession kind of thing. And that would be really cool. And you should publish it and people would buy it. Seems I wasn't the only one. Another American, J. Arnold, had also pestered him about it, good-naturedly, though. And Henry said, hey, I can do this, and I can do it pretty easily. So he compiled his writings and updated it. He made a 35-page PDF. It's full color. It has live links to other pages in the PDF, but also to external websites where appropriate. So you can click on stuff and go to things. Who is this going to appeal to, and what is this? His 12-part writings, 35 pages total, cover 18th century wargaming, and in particular his imagination campaign, the Wars of the Faultenian Succession, and the Granusian Intermezzo, which is like a side thing that he had done more recently. So if you're into having like a what-if kind of situation and making up your own countries and conflicts, you're going to like it. If you're into the fancy wars where people had cool-looking uniforms and all that sort of stuff, you're going to like it. If you like history, you're going to like it. If you like Henry, or if you're just a wargamer, you're going to love it. I highly recommend that you pick up a copy. It's worth every penny. But if the price tag of $5.99 isn't enough, or if you're like, hey, I have the original Battle Games and I don't need it, well, you do, because it's all compiled, so it's easy to access. The live links make it fantastic, so you can just click and you can go to wherever you need to go that's referenced. You don't have to worry about being like, oh, let me see which issue of Battle Games this part was in. And that's what I always had to do, because I would refer to this over and over and over and over again. And eventually, I had printed out my own ages ago. I was like, here's part one, I print this out, and part two. And then, of course, don't you know why I misplaced that? And then I couldn't remember what issue was in. And I had all of the stuff digital, but I was like, oh, if only it were put together, my life would be so much easier. Well, Henry's finally done it. Now, if you're like, hey, I can't really spend £3.5 on this, or I can't spend $5.99, a couple things to keep in mind. It's worth every penny. I've said that a few times, but it's true. It's worth every penny. Buy it. But something to keep in mind is that for every sale, Henry is going to donate one British pound to the Combat Stress charity. Combat Stress is something he has been championing for ages. He really supports them. He advocates for them. He raises money. It's a cause that he feels passionate about, and I feel passionate about, in part because of him. Combat Stress is a British charity, and they raise money to help veterans who are suffering from combat stress, which here in the States we call post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD for short. A lot of service people, men and women, no matter what branch, they go into combat, and it's so different from civilian life. They see things that people really shouldn't have to see and experience things people really shouldn't have to experience. It's hard. Now, I'm not a vet. I've never served. My father is. He served in Vietnam. He served during the Cold War. And I have other family members who have. I know it's hard. I have friends and people in the gaming industry who I know who are vets and who have experienced things that I know had to have been difficult for them. Organizations like Combat Stress, whether they're in the UK or here in the States, they're important because they help these men and women transition back out of active duty and away from the zones of combat and into civilian life. They help them get the help that they need, that they may not realize right away that they need. But as soon as they're willing to say, hey, I think I need help, they can go and they can get all the help that they need. It doesn't cost them anything. And to know that Henry is doing what he can by taking some money out of a product that he's created that's really there to help him with his livelihood, to make sure that he has enough food to eat and that he can pay his bills and all that sort of stuff. He's taking some of the proceeds to help charity, to help an important charity. So I also feel important about this. I feel that it's something that we need to keep in the front of our mind. So here's what I'm going to do. I will also make a donation to the Combat Stress Charity for every sale that I generate. How am I quantifying generate? If you buy the Wars of the Fontanian Succession and then you tell me that you bought it because I mentioned it on the show and you use my link that's in the show notes, if you do this and you buy it, it's $5.99 American, 3.5 British pounds. Henry's going to donate a British pound to them, and I will also make a donation for each sale. Going to do that as a way of saying how important this is. And also in part because it's a good thing to do. We need to help others. If we're just focusing on ourselves and not trying to make the world a better place, what does that say? I mean, we're war gamers, and some people won't war game because they think, well, should we? Are we glorifying war? Are we glorifying the hardship and the conflicts and the pain and the agony? And I'm not going to get into that now. That's a question for like someone who's an ethicist or a philosopher or whatever. Not something I'm getting into now. But the least we can do is try to help other people. So I'm going to try to help out. And like I said, Henry's going to donate a pound from every sale to the Combat Stress Charity. And then for every sale that I generate, when you buy the Wars of the Fontanian Succession and then you tell me that you did it because I mentioned it on the show, I'll then make a donation. Something to keep in mind. And then a couple other things. If I haven't inspired you enough to purchase this, Henry has mentioned yours truly in the foreword. He had mentioned me and Jay Arnold and said how we kind of wouldn't let him forget about it and encourage him to do this so that we get our names in print. And it's really, really cool. And of course, the only way you can see that my name is in print in the foreword and that you can read the cool foreword is to buy a copy of The Wars of the Fontanian Succession for $5.99 American. And then furthermore, if you need even more prodding, I'm going to do it, right? His Wars of the Fontanian Succession have always inspired me. From the first moment I picked up and read that copy of Battle Games, and I saw in the first issue that he was talking about this, I couldn't get enough of it. And since then, every single time I felt like, oh, I'm not that enthused about whatever. Oh, I got to do this project. Or I have that. And maybe my interest is waning. Or I'm just so busy with life and everything else. I'm not sure if I can do it. I end up picking up his Wars of the Fontanian Succession. And I read them. And then I get reinvigorated. Every single time it works. Every time. I think it can do the same for you. And not only can it help you, but then some money from sales will go to help some vets in need. It's win-win all around. It's affordable. It's amazing. It's PDF. You can carry it around with you. Works on your electronic devices, all that sort of stuff. Good things happen from it. like I said, it is a compilation of his 12 articles that he wrote for Battle Games. So it's not new content in that regard, except for the forward. But it's better package. It's all in one place. Live links, helps good cause, all that sort of stuff. I hope you will consider purchasing it. There will be a link in the show notes. Did you forget the show notes? Well, the easy way to get to them is wargamingforums.com/WR117. Now, moving on, just a few more things before this episode wraps up. First, I want to thank 127games.com because they have continued their sponsorship of the show. So without the generous support of Bill Detmers and his 127games.com, Wargaming Recon would not exist. It's a fact. Although the show is a hobby, it's something I do because I love it, and I love talking with all of you and love that you invite me into your lives every episode. It costs money, plain and simple. It's not cheap to host the show. It's not cheap to have the podcast equipment. It's not cheap to go to the conventions and things or to buy stuff and get access to stuff. It's not cheap. It costs stuff. I lose money. That's fine. I like doing this. But without their sponsorship, it would become so expensive that it would be prohibitive. I would have to shut down the show, plain and simple. Unless another sponsor stepped up and was able to match or exceed what was going on there, there's no way I could do it on my own. I could not shoulder the costs. So that's why 127 Games and Bill Detmers are so important, and why I am grateful to all of you who continue to go there by clicking the links on our website, on the blog, by telling them that you go there because of us. That's important. That lets Bill know that we're important to him, that we're making it worth his time and money to sponsor us, that he gets something back because he runs a business. You know, it's not a charity. He needs to earn money, and he's earning money by doing transactions with all of you. And how is he going to know that you went there because of us? Well, because you click a link on our website. That lets me know, and I can tell him, and I can tell him how many of you listen to the show and all that sort of stuff. But it also helps when you let him know that you went there because of us. So that's just something to keep in mind, and just wanted to take the time aside of an ad that, you know, we have the ads in the show, but aside of the ads, just say thank you, Bill, and thank you, 127games.com, for your kind and generous support. It's been a long and lovely business relationship, and one that I am very grateful for. Now, we're almost at the end. This is a time I ask you to please, if you listen to us via iTunes, to please leave us a review. That's right. iTunes is the number one podcast directory on the planet. If you're looking for a podcast to listen to, you are going to go to iTunes and search and find what's going on. If you have the options between a couple shows and one has no reviews and one has a bunch of reviews, you're probably going to go with the one with a bunch of reviews because you know what you're going to get, especially if they're good reviews. So I encourage all of you who do listen to us through iTunes to leave a review. It's very important because that helps others to find the show and it helps to grow the hobby. We've gotten some reviews previously and I've shared those on the air and I will share any future reviews. I want to say that so far we've gotten more ratings, so thank you for the ratings. We have 9 ratings so far and encourage you to leave more ratings, but the reviews are even more important. Wargamingforums.com/iTunes will bring you right to where you can leave a review and say how many stars and what you think of the show and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so we are now officially near the end of the show. I want to remind all of you that on August 4th, 2014, Henry Hyde, editor of Miniature Wargames Magazine and the author of the Wargaming Compendium and also author of the Wars of the Faultenian Succession compilation, will be on the show. Yes, he will be the featured guest. Looking forward to speaking with Henry, of course. Then don't forget that you can get in touch with me here. We are on Facebook. We're on Twitter. There's the email address, cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. You can do all of that, get in touch, send your comments, your feedback. Let me know what some of your favorite wargaming destination spaces are. Be happy to hear what you have to say about that. The next episode of this show will be releasing on July 21st, 2014. So be sure to look for that. And then, of course, don't forget all the stuff we talk about on the show, links and all that kind of cool stuff and ways to purchase the Wars of the Faultenian Succession. Links to all that will be in the show notes. wargamingforums.com/WR117. wargamingforums.com/ WR117. That's what you need, and that'll connect you with everything. So thank you, all of you, for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. New listeners, old listeners, I'm appreciative of you all, and I want to just thank you for listening to me this time. I will be back next time with another episode of Wargaming Recon. We'll be talking about more cool stuff, I promise you. So until then, you know the deal. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how many vacations you're on, what Wargamer destination spot you happen to be at, no matter how much time you're spending reading Scale Military Modeler International Magazine, no matter what, you always, you need to, you gotta, you have to keep on gaming.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly. New episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.